I like to read about three songs in the Bible. And first of all, I like to read in Psalm 69. Psalm 69. Read some verses from it. Verse 4. They that hate me without a cause are more than the hairs of my head. They that would destroy me, being my enemies wrongfully, are mighty. Then I restored that which I took not away. Verse 8. I am become a stranger to my brethren, and an alien unto my mother's sons, for the zeal of thy house has devoured me. Verse 12. They that sit in the gate talk of me, and I am the song of the drunkards. Verse 20. Reproach hath broken my heart, and I am overwhelmed. And I looked for sympathy, but there was none, and for comforters, but I found none. And I like to read in Psalm 51. Psalm 51. It's on page 721, Psalm 51. To the chief musician, a psalm of David. When Nathan the prophet came to him after he had gone into Bathsheba, be gracious unto me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according to the abundance of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. Wash me fully from my iniquity, and cleanse me from my sin, for I acknowledge my transgressions and my sins continually before me. And then can we go over the page and go to verse 14. Deliver me from blood guiltiness, O God, thou God of my salvation. My tongue shall sing aloud of thy righteousness. Lord, open my lips, and my mouth shall declare thy praise. And the third one I want to read is in Revelation chapter 5. And in this Bible, it's on page 1492. Revelation chapter 5. And I saw in the midst of the throne, and of the four living creatures, and in the midst of the elders, a lamb standing, a slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God, which are sent into all the earth. And it came and took it out of the right hand of him that sat upon the throne. And when it took the book, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell before the Lamb, having each a harp and golden bowls, full of incenses, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sing a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book and to open its seals, because thou hast been slain and hast redeemed to God by thy blood out of every tribe and tongue and people and nation, and made them to our God kings and priests, and they shall reign over the earth. As I said, I'd like to speak about three songs. Reference in the first one to the song of the drunkards. In the second scripture, to the song of a repenting sinner. And to the third one, the song of heaven. We're all sinners tonight. Every one of us here. I don't know everyone here. Probably a lot of you don't know me either. That's no bad thing. But I want you to know the Saviour. That's the most important thing, that each one of us come to know the Lord Jesus as the Saviour. And I've read in Psalm 69 about the song of the drunkards. I don't know what kind of songs you like. Most people have songs they like. Someone asked me the other day what my favourite song was. I don't know what your favourite song is. You haven't got a favourite song. But this Psalm 69 speaks of the one who was the song of the drunkards. And if you read some of the verses in the Psalms, this Psalm, and some of you know your Bible quite well, you will find some of them repeated in the New Testament. And they refer to Jesus, when he came to earth, and what he was like when he was here on earth. You know, the Lord Jesus Christ is God. He's over all. He created everything in this world. There's not a single thing in this world that Jesus didn't create. That's how great he is. And he keeps everything going by the word of his power. And yet in wonderful grace, he came into this world. I always remember sitting in a gospel preaching. I was quite young at the time. And the speaker came along and he said about the man who wanted to get near to the sparrows. And he got near to the sparrows and sparrows flew away. And he thought to himself, the only way I could get near to the sparrow is to become a sparrow myself. And that's what Jesus did in effect. He who had created everything, he became a human being just like us. Sin apart, but he did become a real man. He came into manhood, not as a king, not as a powerful emperor, but he came in as a baby. Someone was here this morning, I don't know if she's here tonight or not, but she was here this morning, she's just got a baby, 4 weeks old. Jesus was once a baby, 4 weeks old. But he came into this world that way. He grew up. We don't read much of him until he was about 30 years of age. But when he was about 30 years of age, he was anointed with the Holy Spirit and with power. And he went into all quarters, everywhere, doing good, healing all who were oppressed of the devil because God was with him. God was coming near to people like you and me in the person of the Lord Jesus. He came near to us to help us. And he helped people. You can read about people who Jesus helped if you read the four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke and John. Some people were young. Some people were old. Some people were rich. Some people were poor. But they all had a need. And you've got a need. And I've got a need. And the wonderful thing is the Lord Jesus can supply that need. Not only for this life, but you know, this life doesn't end everything. We'll all die one day, probably, unless we go to be with Christ. We'll all die. Where are we going to spend eternity? Good question. Where are you going to spend eternity? Now, Jesus came into this world that we might not spend eternity in hell, but we might enjoy the song of heaven. And enjoy that forever and ever. But Jesus came into this world. And he lived in this world. Lived in the world just like you and me. He ate. He drank. He got hungry. He got angry. He got thirsty. But he didn't sin. That's different from you and me. We all sin. Every one of us. We're all sinners. I remember telling someone in the jail I go to, that we're all in the same boat. So I tried to use a kind of homely expression. We're all in the same boat. And the man said to me, there must be a pretty big boat. And that's quite true. It is a big boat. Takes in everybody in this world. We're all sinners. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And this psalm speaks about some of the sufferings of the Lord Jesus. He was hated. Amazing that. He was hated. Why was he hated? He was kind to everyone. He helped people. He relieved them of distress. He spoke the truth to them. But he was hated. Why was he hated? Because he came into this world to deal with sin and sins by his death on the cross. He came into the world to save sinners. And when the Apostle Paul says that in one of his letters, he adds this, of whom I was the worst. And if the worst of sinners can be saved by the grace of God, so can you. And thank God he saved me. And he wants to save everyone from our sins. Deliver us. Change us. Make us different. Jesus wants to do that. So Jesus was here. And it says he became a stranger to his brethren, an alien to his mother's sons. When Jesus was here, when he was in his service, he wasn't appreciated by his half-brothers. He wasn't appreciated by them at all. Thank God, after he died on the cross, many of them became followers of Jesus as well. But the Lord Jesus was not appreciated. And it says about him here, he was the song of the drunkards. I don't know if I exactly read in the Gospels about people being drunk in the presence of Jesus, but this is what the writer says. He was the song of the drunkards. You ever made much fun of Jesus? Some people do. Many people do. I do a little bit of speaking out in the open air, and people make fun of Jesus. Some people don't believe he exists. But people make fun of the Lord Jesus. It's just a lot of rubbish about what Jesus, you're talking about Jesus. But he came into this world to save people like you and me. But people made fun of him. And it just like being the song of the drunkard, when people that ought to have known better wanted him crucified and killed. You think of people who knew the Bible well. When I say the Bible, that would be the Old Testament Bible, because the New Testament wasn't written there. But some people who knew the Bible well wanted Jesus crucified. Although he had magnified God's law. He had made it honourable. He had told out the message from the Old Testament that pointed on to himself. But he was despised. He was looked down upon. It was just like being made the song of the drunkards. People who didn't know any better. How do you treat Jesus? It says somewhere in the Old Testament, when we see him, there's no beauty in him that we should desire him. He's despised and set aside by men, the man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. People turned away their faces from him. He was the man that had come to help humanity, to save humanity, but people turned against him and had him crucified. How are you treating Jesus? Have you any room for Jesus in your life? Have I any room for Jesus? Also, him says, have you any room for Jesus? Good question. Have I any room for Jesus? God's glorious Son who came into the world to save people like us. Have we any room for him in our lives? He came in and showed the kindness and love to man of a Saviour God when he was here on earth. But people despised him. He was, in effect, the song of the drunkards. Well, it also speaks about what he did here. I restored that which I took not away. You know, when sin came into the world, God lost man. Man was the apex of God's creation. God created lots of things, animals, flowers, trees. But the might say the best of God's creation was humanity, was people. It was into man God breathed the breath of life, and man became a living soul. But alas, what happened? The devil tempted people. Tempted Adam, tempted Eve. And they disobeyed God. And God really lost man. It's spoken of as the fall of man. And you're part of the fall. You're part of it just as much as I am. We're all part of a fallen race. Why is there suffering in the world? Why is there death in the world? Why are there wars in the world? I'll tell you why. It's through the fall of man. Because man disobeyed God and got himself into a mess. And then what happened? Eventually, people turned on one another. And we have in the Bible a way that one of the sons of Adam and Eve killed his brother. Once people turn away from God, there's no saying what they'll do. Don't turn away from God. Open your ear to the message in the gospel that concerns the Lord Jesus Christ and heed it. While it is the day of grace. So it speaks here about him as being the song of the drunkards. It also speaks about reproach has broken my heart. I'm overwhelmed. I looked for sympathy and there was none. And for comforters and I found none. You think of Jesus going on towards the cross. And he anticipated what lay ahead of him in the Garden of Gethsemane. And the awfulness of what he was going to do, what's going to be done to him, came upon him. And he asked the Father, God the Father, to take away that cup from him. But he says, but not my will, but thine be done. If that cup had gone from Jesus, there'd be no salvation for you, no salvation for me. We would have had to experience the wrath of God against our sins, against us. But well, thank God, he took that cup. He took that cup from the Father's hand, and he went onto the cross at Calvary, and he, the sinless one, suffered the just for us, the unjust, to bring us to God. Jesus died that we might be brought to God, to know God's love, to know God's forgiveness, to know God's peace, to have a hope for all eternity. Jesus suffered to bring us to God. Thank God he suffered for the drunkard. Thank God he suffered for everyone, in order that through his death we might know the joy of being forgiven. And that's why I read about the son of the sinner. You know, David is brought forward in the New Testament as the prime example of how God's forgiveness worked. Now, David was a king, and David should have known better, but David sinned. He sinned very, very badly. He coveted his neighbor's wife. He got a man killed. So in other words, he committed murder. He committed adultery. He committed sin. And he went on as if nothing happened. You know, you can go on as if nothing happens. And I can do that in our lives. But the word of God would come to each one of us that we've sinned. Mm. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. I'm a sinner, and so are you. And David was eventually convicted of his sin. David was. He had a man come and told him. He told him a story. Now, David had been a shepherd. And the man came, his name was Nathan, the prophet. And he came to David and he told him a story. And David, through the story, he was very angry about what he heard, about the way a man had treated his neighbour, his poor neighbour, and had someone sheep killed where it shouldn't have been. And David's anger was kindled. And then Nathan said to him, "You're the man. You're the man. You're the sinner." You know, you can come to gospel preaching time and time again, and you can hear the story, and it doesn't make any difference to you. And then someday, the word of God comes right home to you. I've known that myself. I've been at gospel preaching, made no effect upon me. I remember coming as a child to hear the gospel. Thank God I did. But some of it had no effect on me. But eventually, one day, something was said that hit home into my heart. I thought, I was a sinner. And you're a sinner. You might not know it, but we're all sinners, and we all need a Saviour. Jesus died on the cross to put away sin by his sacrifice. He was died, and he was buried. He shed his precious blood when he was on the cross at Calvary. And then after he was buried, he rose again. And he's now in heaven at the right hand of God, and he's got power to change every life. All power's been given him in heaven and upon earth. Now, Jesus is not using that power to destroy people at the present time. He's using that power to change human lives, like your life and my life. He wants to change them and change them forever. Well, it struck home to David that he had sinned. And you know what he said? "I have sinned." He didn't give a big long story. He didn't try to cover up things that he'd done. He said, "I have sinned." I was with a man in jail the other week. I hadn't met him before. And he came to Christ last Christmas. He came to Christ after his mother died. You know, sometimes God can use bad circumstances in our lives to make us feel the need of a Saviour. Anyway, this man was very upset. His mother died. His family didn't want him to come to the funeral. And someone spoke to him about Jesus. And he accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as his own Saviour. And I was very interested talking with him. He was telling me a little bit about it, how he came to faith. But what interested me, he was open and he was honest. I meet loads of men in prison. They try and cover up what they've done. They pretend it wasn't as bad. Things haven't worked out well for them. Lots of excuses they have. This man was completely honest. He said, I deserve to be here. I deserve to be here. You know, we all deserve to go to hell because of sin. Mm-hmm. But this man said, I deserve to be here. But he recognized that Jesus had come here. And Jesus had died for his sins. He said, people see a change in my life. Yes. That's what the gospel does. Mm-hmm. It changes people's lives. I don't know if your life's been changed yet, but God wants to change it. And change it for the better now. And change it for the better for all eternity. David was honest. He said, I have sinned. And Nathan told him, on behalf of God, God has put away your sin. And you know, thank God, every person, irrespective of what they've done, whether they've been a murderer or a thief or a drug addict or a drug dealer or an alcoholic, whoever they are, if they come to faith in Christ, he can deliver you from your sins and give you a change in life and change it forever. Settle everything through his work on the cross and give you the gift of the Holy Spirit. So you've got power within you to enjoy the love of God and to be here for him until Jesus comes again. So David was told, I've sinned. And after this sin, he writes this psalm. It's a very interesting psalm. And it's an honest psalm. And one of the things he says, against thee only have I sinned and done what's evil in thy sight. He was wanting to be washed fully from his sins. It's one thing to know about Jesus. It's one thing to hear the gospel. It's quite another thing to earnestly seek salvation. Mm-hmm. And I've found over the years that people need to be deadly earnest if they want to get the salvation that's in Christ Jesus. You don't get salvation just by coming to a gospel service. Thank God you've come, whoever you are. But you know you don't get that just by coming. You've got to come to Jesus. And you've got to come in repentance. You've got to say like David, I have sinned. And lay claim to the wonderful finished work of Jesus on the cross. Put your trust in him and you'll get salvation. It speaks about seeking God with all your heart. God says, I know the thoughts I think towards you, thoughts of peace and of blessing, but you've got to seek with all your heart. In other words, be deadly earnest about it. And David was deadly earnest about his sins. He said, I have sinned. And from the depth of his heart, he meant it. And you see in this psalm, the way he writes, that he felt the awfulness of his sin, but he also had an appreciation of God's forgiveness. And one of the things he says afterwards in this then is, he says, deliver me from blood guiltiness, O Lord, O God, thou God of my salvation. My tongue shall sing aloud of thy righteousness. I don't want you to sing about yourself. I don't want to sing any of the songs of this world. I want you to sing about Jesus. Sing of God's righteousness in Christ. Sing about what he's done in the cross. And so then he says, oh, Lord, open my lips. My mouth shall declare thy praise. Great thing to have our part in praising God. Praising the Lord Jesus Christ. Praise the Saviour, ye who know him. Who can tell how much we owe him? Gladly let us render to him all we have and are. Wonderful to be secured for the praise of God. Through the death of Jesus, through listening to God's word, through turning to God in repentance and putting our faith in him. And know what it is, out of full and joyful hearts, to have our part in praising God. You know, God wrote in the Old Testament, this people, the peoplehood who were just speaking with their mouths and their hearts far away from God. But God wants to secure you in your heart. And out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks in praise to the Lord who's done so much for us. I want just to tell you about heaven. The song of heaven. Somebody asked me the other day, what's heaven like? What's heaven like? Do you know what heaven's like? People imagine all kinds of things, what heaven's like. Well, we're told some things about heaven. And John the Apostle got a little insight into heaven. And what he saw there in heaven was one thing, the centre of everything, was the Lamb. The Lamb who standing as slain. In other words, he saw Jesus in heaven. Heaven will centre in Christ. I'll tell you that much. Centres in Jesus. Everything about him, round about him, speaks about him. And everything makes much of him for his own glory. Great thing to our part in the song of heaven. And so John gets this insight into heaven. He sees what it's like. And he speaks about it. He speaks about people who are around, people who are falling before the Lamb. Have you fallen before the Lamb? God intends that you fall before the Lamb. Fall before the Lamb and during this day of grace, and you'll get God's salvation. The Lord Jesus Christ, who died on the cross, who became obedient unto death, and that the death of the cross, God's highly exalted him and granted him a name, that which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to God the Father's glory. Have you bowed to Jesus? Have you said, Christ, for me, I want to bow before you. I want to serve you. I want to honour you. I want to accept your work on the cross at Calvary. That's what God intends. And when you get this insight, a little insight into heaven, you see the Lamb in the centre and people falling before the Lamb and singing a new song. New song. Plenty of songs in this world. I suppose there are songs being composed every other week in this world. People get famous sometimes through songs. Where I live, there's a festival coming in August, and there's a big poster up with all the names of well-known singers, celebrities, who are going to come and sing at it. And no doubt that's intended to draw the crowds. People like going to see and hear celebrities. But you know, there's one celebrity above every celebrity, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. He's got a name above every name. And at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow. And if you get to heaven, every knee is going to bow before Jesus there. And so we read about people in heaven singing in this new song. And they're singing, saying, Thou art worthy. And he is worthy. Worthy is the Lamb that's been slain. He's worthy to do certain things because thou hast been slain and hast redeemed to God by thy blood. We get salvation through faith in Christ, through faith in his blood, through repenting towards God, putting our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And it says where they come from. Out of every tribe and tongue and people and nation. That would include Basildon, wouldn't it? Every tongue and people and nation. Every tribe, doesn't matter where you are, where you come from. There's people of all kinds of nationalities today, different ethnic origins. Doesn't matter who they are, what kind of folk they are, but the gospel of the grace of God is to redeem to God people out of every tribe and tongue and folk and this people and nation, and secure them for our God to be kings and priests. In other words, God's going to dignify you. Speaks in Isaiah, I think, but God's going to make a man more precious than gold, yea, man than the gold of Ophir. You know, the gospel dignifies people. Satan degrades people. Down and down and down. I was talking to a guy the other day. He's an alcohol addicted man. I've known him for about 10 years. I see him often. He has some knowledge about the Bible. I trust he'll come to real faith in Jesus and put his trust in him and give up trying to help himself and recognize that he's a sinner and needs a saviour. But the gospel's for everyone. Well, everyone. Doesn't matter what you are. The gospel's for you and you and you and me, thank God. And the gospel's there. And God's securing people by the blood of Jesus. He's redeeming people to God. You know the idea about redeeming? Is you're buying back. Buying back. God had man for his pleasure when Adam and Eve were created, but God lost man through the fall of man. But the redemption that's in Christ Jesus means that God's buying people back so that they can be for God's pleasure now and for God's pleasure forever. Wonderful to know the Saviour. Don't be marked by the song of the drunkard. Don't be singing against Christ. Don't be attacking the gospel of the grace of God. Rather, submit to the grace of God. The gospel's preached for the obedience of faith. It's not preached on a take-it-or-leave-it basis. God's announcing the gospel concerning his Son, concerning Jesus Christ and him crucified, and he's announcing it for obedience. Obedience from me, obedience from you, obedience from everyone. And if we obey God, obey his word, we come into the blessings that are available through our Lord Jesus Christ. Blessings now, the blessing of knowing our sins forgiven, of peace with God, and having a hope, a bright and blessed hope that centres in Jesus, of being with him like this crowd that's mentioned in Revelation 5, having our part eternally in surrounding the Saviour, the Lamb that was slain, and recognising his greatness and bowing before him and having part in this new song. I trust everyone here will not continue with the song of the drunkard. I trust you'll be like David and be marked having this song in your mouth of praise to the one who's redeemed you by his precious blood, and have your part not only yourself but with many, many others, enjoying the Saviour's love, enjoying the Saviour's blessings, and having part in praise and worship him for all eternity. May the Lord bless all of us here, for his name's sake.
Amen. Amen.